Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend, Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's Carson Anderson program. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday. Overcast, dreary day, but sun was out and shining brightly yesterday, and it shone quite brightly on our Detroit Tigers with a all right, everyone needs to relax kind of win over the Boston Red Sox, back on the winning track. See if they can bang out a series win against Alex Bregman, who wanted to play for a winner. He said wanted to play for a place he thought he could win short term and long term, and he went to Boston. And so it's always got to be gratifying to beat a guy like that, and we will talk about that today. Hello, Scott Anderson. How are you?
Hello, Doug. I'm fine. He also said some very nice things about Detroit.
He did. He's trying to make up for it.
I feel like you're poisoning the well there.
He's trying to make up for it.
Is he?
Yeah, I think so. I think he knew he would come in here and probably be facing a fan base that then went out and booed him, as expected. But it's fine. What was the... what was the line from AJ Hinch? Either sign here or we'll beat you. Love it. Absolutely love it.
Savage.
Here's what we got scheduled for today. Yes, we'll get to some Lions talk late in the show yesterday with the trade Hendrickson news that at 10:30. We'll talk plenty of Tigers, 14-2 win over Boston. Take that, Mr. Bregman. We got draft lottery last night. We got NFL schedule soft release news coming out today. We've got a warning gator graphic. Nope. We've got a national celebration day.
We don't have that.
We've got, well, yeah, it's national. It's a good one. I think you'll
no
like it.
Graphic.
Oh, yeah, there is.
No, not watching it.
Yeah, we got a big old tub of pretzels question of the day. We got all kinds of stuff, but we're going to start with a revelation. In the office today, everyone is sitting there. Email pops up. We all see the same thing and go, wait, what? You put in your show sheet that you led your team in triples as a kid?
Yep. They were little league triples, like the Riley Green home run last night. But it was this is how it would work. I would hit a base hit, and I just kept running. I didn't stop. I would get to first and just keep chugging along the second. The outfielder's like, what? Because they would lollygag it because they just, you know, were kids. You don't really know the game as well. But I just kept going to second. And once I hit second, I turned and kept going to third because now they're throwing a ball around. And some kids don't know how to catch, you know, as well as others. And by the time I got to third, that's where the third base is going, would you stop? Stop! And then I would finally stop at third base.
So you didn't really lead your team in triples.
Oh, I led the team in triples the way I see it.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Just kept running. So you led your team in singles and multiple base errors.
Didn't say they were all errors. I just kept running. If I think more mental errors than anything else by the other team, that's a triple.
Is it?
Triple.
Can you buy this? The triple explanation, just keep running?
Just kept running.
You're like Forrest Gump, huh?
I was just like Forrest Gump. In fact, when I saw Forrest Gump, I laughed because I'm like, oh, it's like me playing Little League when I was like 8 years old.
If you had asked us in the office, Gator led his Little League team in a stat, I think triples would not have been high on the list.
Yeah, it was triples.
Yeah.
I was thinking like banana splits after the game.
For the 1 year.
The 1 year. Do you know how many you had?
Wait, you quit after leading the league, leading your team in triples?
No, I stopped the running constantly from first to third. I hit a base hit, and I would stop at first base.
Did you ever run till you're out? Did you ever get, does this ever come back and haunt
you? Not that I recall.
No.
I don't think that, I don't remember that happening. Now, also understand this. It was a rare occasion that I actually had a base hit.
Oh, was it?
I was a terrible hitter. But when I hit the ball, I made the most of it. I was not going to stop.
You just kept going.
Yeah.
Did the first base coach, did they ever talk to you like, hey, we want you to stop at first?
Doug, I don't have any time to listen to the first base coach.
Is that right?
I don't know.
Ain't nobody got time for that?
I ain't going
to pay attention to coaches.
No.
So this, what? How old were you when this happened?
Like 8 years old,
and
eight
by
nine,
and by nine or ten, you were done.
And by nine, I was a seasoned veteran. I knew what was going on.
You knew not to run.
I knew running. Yeah, this is a game, base by base.
And you never got burned by this.
I don't recall getting burned.
Okay, all right.
Well. No, but like I said, I was a terrible hitter. So the few times that I would hit the ball, I think I had like five.
Okay, so this came out because of the Riley Green play.
Yes, that's exactly why. I mean, it's literally right after my notes, right after the Riley Green Little League home run.
Right, I'm explaining to the audience.
Yes, you guys seem to think like legitimate triples. No, it was like this, like Riley Green-ish. Although it didn't go underneath the right fielder's mitt, and I just kept going. I just literally kept running.
Yeah, that was right before Abreu picked it up. It took a bad hop, and I laughed immediately because you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Here comes the windmill at third base.
And
they're waving him around.
Should it have been that close at home? I feel like, I mean, that ball was just trickling to get to the wall. And I don't know. Riley Green was clearly running, but maybe it was just a hell of a throw by Abreu and a hell of a throw back to the infield because Riley Green barely beat it out and the ball skipped past the catcher. But
I was,
it was pretty close.
In the sport of baseball, you rarely see players completely out of gas.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. It happens way more in every other sport than it happens in baseball. So I always kind of crack up when you see the baseball player like, because they just, you can play the sport and go through for weeks without being winded.
Yeah.
I mean, the sprint down to first base, yeah, I mean, it's a little bit taxing.
If you start and stop, constantly trying to steal second base and the ball's fouled off.
Yeah, occasional double, you know, you can be winded. But very rarely is a player like actually super winded. But that does happen when you hit the Little League home run. All right, so Tigers do win it last night. We will get into that coming up in a few moments. What was the best part about last night's game? And quite frankly, I want to circle back to a text we got a couple days ago that was just, it was an elite observation, and I love it. We will do that today at 10:15. Talks from Trey Hendrickson and Lions at 10:30. How feasible is this really? It is Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, looking to upgrade your outdoor space? Builders First Source has you covered with four Metro Detroit locations. They specialize in top quality composite decking with brands that you trust like Trex and TimberTech and AZEK. So whether you're a DIY enthusiast or you need a certified installer, their expert team will help you build the perfect deck that stands the test of time. Visit one of their locations today in Lapeer, Auburn Hills, Clinton Township, or Shelby Township and discover why Builders First Source is your go-to for decking. Quality, service, and unbeatable value, that's the Builders First Source promise. Search buildersfirstsource.com.
Want to take it open lines, 248-539-9797. Good to be with you on a Tuesday here in Detroit, especially coming off a big Tiger win last night. And we'll get to that here. Move on to Trey Hendrickson at 10:30. And how feasible is this? And I think, I don't know that the morning show mentioned this. I think it's there's one key element to this that hasn't been discussed a lot. But we'll get to that today at 10:30. 14-2 win over Boston last night. A gratifying, everyone needs to calm down kind of victory over the Red Sox. Jackson Jobe, five and a third, and seven strikeouts, one earned run. He threw 100 pitches. I'm sure they'd love to not have him throw 100 pitches as many times as they can possibly have him not throw 100 pitches, but whatever. Gleyber Torres, 108.9 off the bat, pretty high exit velo. He had a two-run bomb. He had another RBI single the other way. He went 3-for-3. It wasn't like they were ropes. There was a bloop. There was a humpback single, and then there was a ground ball up the middle.
A humpback single.
Yeah, and, you know, we got a text last week. I just think it's brilliant that if you slipped into a coma in 2023 and just woke up, or 2022, it would be going exactly the way you thought. First round picks at the top of the draft, Torque and Mize having really good years. Big free agent signing, Javi Baez leading the way. Riley Green tearing the cover off the ball. These are the things that you would have expected. It was not a straight line to get here, but these are the things you would have expected. So those of you waking up in a coma, it's not as easy as it hasn't gone as smoothly as you might think in the interim for those who have been in the 3-year coma. But it's funny how that worked out. I mean, Baez had 3 more hits last night. The slide at home plate was awesome.
It was great.
He's one of the best at going first to third. He's turning into a guy who plays the game in a very likable way.
I think he always has been. The problem is he was swinging at that sweeper and he couldn't catch up to it and struck out at an alarming rate. And sometimes it looked like maybe a little bit lax in the field and a couple plays would get away from him. But I thought he always ran the base as well. I think his baseball acumen is very high. And we're seeing now he's getting on base more, so we actually get to see him do it. I mean, he's hitting well above 300 at this point. He's at 313 now. His OPS, I believe, is over 800 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
These are good signs for Javi Baez, and he's driving runs in from the bottom of the lineup. They haven't moved him up a ton. You know, sometimes you might see him at, I think maybe the highest I've seen him is 6th this year, mm-hmm. but they're keeping him at the bottom. Go ahead. Clean it up. And having Trey Sweeney do what he's been doing this season, wow. Both of those guys at bottom of the lineup, it's trouble.
It's really been nice, a very good find for them. And, you know, when you can hit 1-9 and you can get starting pitching like Jackson Job. Look, yesterday was a day that there was a little bit of Chicken Little woven throughout the ticket text we got throughout the day. Some people that saw the back-to-back losses, and they weren't pretty. Let's be clear. Saturday and Sunday weren't pretty.
No.
But when you play 162 of these things, you're going to have extreme results on either end of the spectrum. The Tigers aren't a 14-run offense. They're also not a 10-1-6-2 kind of loss team either, like they were Saturday and Sunday. These are extreme results in 3 consecutive days. And, you know, I mean, they've settled in here to second best record in baseball, a half game behind the Dodgers. And, you know, today is interesting when you're going with the starting Tyler Holton and you're doing the pitching chaos thing for the first time this year. It is the first time, right?
I think it's the first opener start they've had. Yeah.
So being somewhat forced to play this card because of the Mize injury, is that the reason here?
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see the post game press conference last night for that. I apologize. But you know, this normally would feel like a kind of a desperate move. I just think it's a card that they have that they can play when they reach these moments in the schedule where they're a little shorthanded because of injuries. And yeah, we did this last year. We'll do it again.
Yeah, this is nothing new. And I go back to what AJ Hinch had to say after Sunday, saying, if you expect me to be, you know, really upset after, you know, 2 losses, then you don't know me very well, because watch us after we're winning a lot of games. He's very calm, and that calming influence matters. And it reverberates throughout the team. And these guys just go out there and they can just chuck it, throw it in the garbage and look at the next game. That's what's happened for the last couple of years here. He's been able to preach that, and this team understands that, to the point where, I mean, you start off the game last night, you jump him with a 2-run homer, 2 batters into the game from Gleyber Torres, and again, can't say enough great things about Gleyber Torres and his addition to the team. And then you have that 3rd inning, which just didn't stop.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It was great. And, you know, we talked about it during yesterday's show. Hey, they're going up against Tanner Houck. So this is a chance to get right against a pitcher that's had his blow-up starts, and that was another blow-up start for him last night. He's mixed some good starts in between. Tonight might be a little bit tougher. Brian Bello missed the beginning of the season with a shoulder and has got limited starts. I'm going to have to go back and look and see how many he's had, but he's had 4 starts this year. He's won a lot of games. His secondary numbers aren't great, but he's better than Hauk. So a little bit bigger challenge tonight. But, you know, winning this series would be certainly reassuring after what happened on the weekend. 248-539-9797. Tony, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Tony?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great, Tony.
I was at the game last night, but I was also at Fenway last week watching the Boston game, and our park absolutely rocks. It's so cool. I tour in a band, and we go to baseball games all the time.
Nice.
And just seeing all the parks around the country, ours absolutely rocks. And it was super cool to see that in the Park Homer by Riley yesterday. Super awesome.
You were in Boston last week. Who were they playing?
They were playing the Twins.
Okay.
So we had a show the night before, and then we wanted to go to the game. It was pretty cool. It's a classic park, obviously, but
yeah.
Comerica is just it's beautiful. It's great. We're playing at St. Andrew's Hall this Friday, by the way.
Well, good luck.
Just a little shout out. Anyways.
Yeah. Thank you for the phone call. I mean, Comerica's a great park. And when it's rocking, when it's filled. It's really weird because I had some friends that just went to Pittsburgh and this park is beautiful. And I said, did you find it familiar? He said, yeah. At one point we said, this is a lot like Comerica. And I'm like, yeah, same architecture company, same era.
They have similarities. And then there were some big differences, but some of the big differences are just, it's where it's placed, you know, that you can see the best thing Pittsburgh ever did was paint those bridges yellow.
Yep.
Because they show up, they pop out there in the outfield scenery. It's a great setting that they have. And Comerica Park is in a great setting as well in the heart of downtown Detroit, where, you know, we don't have a ton of high rises like other major cities do, but the ones that we have are in great view of Comerica Park. The sight lines are awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's good when it's packed. And I every time it's packed and rocking, I just hope ownership notices. And I think they do. I'm not worried about them taking on salary at the trade deadline. I know some people are, but it's very, very, very justifiable.
Yeah. Only 20,000 last night.
Yeah, I mean, I guess early in the season still, and people still in school Monday night, kids still in school.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest factor.
248-539-9797. So Tigers with a win last night that hopefully calmed the masses just a little bit. And yeah, there were some great moments. Good to see them get back on the winning track. All right, so late in the show yesterday, we got Adam Schefter tweeted out the Trey Hendrickson comments. And so in real time, we kind of processed them, gave our two cents on what could happen and whether or not Trey Hendrickson truly is available and accessible to the Detroit Lions. It'd be difficult to do, but it feels like the situation is coming to a head. I feel like when a player goes public, a bit of a line is crossed in terms of, okay, things have gotten worse or things are about to get better. it's a call to action.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a call to action that the Bengals are going to do something about trading him? Is it a call to action that Hendrickson's going to tell his agent, I don't care about a new contract. Just get me the hell out of here. Is it a call to action that the Bengals, you know, sign him, they give him what he wants, trade, sign. Is he, you know, work backwards from his demands? We will get to that today at 10:32. And I don't know, again, I don't know what's been talked about, but here's something we didn't talk about yesterday that after going and doing some deep dive into what's being thought and said in Cincinnati, I realized we might have it all wrong in terms of how to get this deal done. That at 10:31 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
You know, what's awesome about a car buying experience, when you go somewhere and you know it's going to be fun, you know you're going to get a great deal. That's what happens when you shop for a new car at Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield. These folks just make it easy and they make it fun. And right now they've got two incredible lease options that are really hard to beat. How about this? You drive home a 2025 Equinox EV for only $249 a month for 24 months, and that's with just $1,499 down. Or if you need a truck that works for as hard as you do, how about this? The 2025 Silverado 2FL It's just $249 a month for 24 months, and yep, got the same low down payment, and that includes the taxes and fees. Plus, Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield has over 500 vehicles in stock, so you're not stuck with just a few options, and they're open on Saturdays for sales and service with no appointments necessary. And heads up, their Memorial Day sale, it lasts all month long. So now is the perfect time to make your move. You're going to see what I mean when you stop by Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield. They treat you right. Sarah Chevrolet Southfield. Together, let's drive.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so late in the show yesterday, we mentioned the Trey Hendrickson story broke as he went public with his displeasure with the Cincinnati Bengals, which felt like a moment in time in which a line was crossed and we could be seeing some action on this. Whether it's a deal gets done, he gets traded, or he changes his demands, who knows? But bit of a crossroads, what's going on in Cincinnati. So Trey Hendrickson, we're talking about one of the most productive pass rushers in terms of sack numbers in the NFL last year, with 17 and a half, which led the National Football League. He's done that back-to-back years. He's 30 years old. There was, you know, Cincinnati did a lot of re-signing of, you know, a Burrow contract, a T. Higgins contract, a Ja'Marr Chase contract. It sounds like from the Hendrickson camp, he was told, look, we can't afford this year, but go out and have another good year, and we'll sit down at the bargaining table. Now he's saying they're not even talking to me. There's a variety of things that could be in play here, and it's pretty damn complicated. Let's start with this. If Trey Hendrickson is available for draft compensation and is allowed to play out and is accepting a trade to play out the last year of his contract and would fit under the cap for the Detroit Lions for 1 year, of course they trade for him. If he was available for what has been kicked around, a second-round pick in Cincinnati, they were said, so what is he in terms of draft capital? Second and third rounders, the late first rounder. If he's available for draft capital and he fits under the cap to add opposite of Aiden Hutchinson, I don't think there's any question that they would trade for him if those circumstances were in play. And there's the question becomes, you know, does somebody else bid more? That's one. But keep this in mind, and this is what I don't know that's been talked about yet. The Bengals aren't in a rebuild. They signed those guys because they're trying to win now. I listened to some stuff out of Cincinnati and read what I could out of Cincinnati. After they paid their quarterback and they paid their wide receivers, they're still trying to win. They're interested in a player coming back, and a good one. And that could be what the price is. You know, the speculation in listening to Cincinnati podcasts were, how about the Colts for Quentin Nelson, a second team All-Pro guard, or Leatu Latu, a defensive lineman? I want to give credit where credit is due. I'll find out who said that. But they're looking very well, could be looking for established players in return and good ones, because they're trying to win now. And so that kind of, if that's the case, you know, would you offer up a good player or a package of good players to get a deal done?
Probably not. I mean, it depends. Obviously, it depends on who they're talking about.
Right.
They're
it's not going to be Christian Mahogany, right? It's
right.
going to be.
It's not going to be Broderick Martin. I mean, it's going to be Ali McNeil. You know,
it's. I mean, it certainly would help if you weren't hurt. I think it's going to be.
Or like Brian Branch.
Branch and Stuff.
Yeah.
Is the only thing I would. I could see them. I don't think they do it even for Branch straight up. And. So and
because Branch is due a payday
and he's going to be due a payday as well.
So it's hard to find those guys because you're going to have to find guys that are their second year or former first round picks that are in their second or third year. So they have them for multiple years.
And so, okay. So would they be interested in Terrion Arnold? Yeah. But then the Lions would have a hole. Could you package Ennis Rakestraw with, if they loved him out of the draft with a good player, a starter? I feel like even then you'd probably have to throw in some draft compensation. It's tough because if you can get him cheap and he doesn't hurt you on the cap, of course do it. Of course do it. But then the other thing is if he's available cheap and fits under the cap, the Lions aren't going to be the only team bidding on him. Makes it really tough.
No, they won't. But again, if he has a choice of where he goes, then maybe that helps them out a little bit. But you don't know unless you ask. And apparently there's been no conversations at all with Cincinnati about Trey Hendrickson, because that's what Trey is saying. There's no communication. Nobody's talking to us. And
okay.
That would also lead me to believe nobody's talking to his camp. If he was able to go seek a trade,
all right,
and nobody's making offers.
You're saying Trey Hendrickson's camp say no other teams have talked to him?
I mean, there's been no. His last thing was there's been no conversations with Cincinnati.
Okay.
And the other thing was, didn't Cincinnati say to his agent, go ahead and find a trade?
Yes.
And apparently, you know, if they haven't found one, what does that tell you? The teams haven't made an offer, or at least an offer worth bringing back to Cincinnati.
Or they've made offers and they've been rejected, and we just didn't hear about them.
Be hard to I don't know if that seems likely. Those things get out.
That thing that you think it would get out.
Yeah, particularly when he just dropped a nuclear bomb on Cincinnati with his statement.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just using logic to say that doesn't sound like there's been a whole lot of conversations with Cincinnati.
Yeah. All right, gotcha. I thought that was being reported somewhere that they hadn't. And so,
does my logic make sense?
Yeah, it probably does. I was just confused the way you said it. I thought you meant that there had been that someone reported it. But as it stands right now, if there's a path to Trey Hendrickson, if it is accessible, it seems like it's very difficult for Detroit to get him. Second round pick, and he agrees to no contract extension. Sure. Yeah. I mean, Brad Holmes is not a moron. Like he would make a trade to bring in a great player. I mean, part of me, it's very simple. If they couldn't afford Za'Darius Smith, how can they afford Trey Hendrickson? But you know, we'll find a way to afford a player that is possibly this productive. There is, you know, there's not a lot of teams that are paying elite premium prices for two players at the same position, which would, you know, get into the debate of whether or not they could re-sign him. Because they obviously have the Hutch re-sign to do. But as much as we want him to, and this is the other and maybe the biggest factor if he truly becomes available, as much as we would want him in Detroit, you would have to think there were teams that want him more. Because those teams don't even have an Aiden Hutchinson. Most teams don't have an Aiden Hutchinson. So to put him on the market and start taking bids, it would feel like you're bidding against somebody that's a more motivated buyer.
Well, make a bid.
Yeah, who's to say they haven't or that they're not going to?
Yeah, I mean, I'd give up a first-round pick for him for just a year.
And again, if I think they would too. I actually think they would too because that would put him in a great, great, great spot. Now,
I don't know how many teams would, though, because then you'd only have him for the 1 year, and teams that have better draft positioning – I mean, for them to give up that pick, that's a multi-year player that you're giving up.
Certainly, if they want a player instead of draft compensation, and that was one of the things that I was getting back was, hey, they're trying to win now, so the idea of them not being able, like them just taking draft compensation, I mean, maybe they would. Maybe they would take a player and draft compensation. But a win now team isn't as interested in starting a rebuild as others. And Cincinnati's in a pretty good shape, offensively at least. They could use an upgrade to their defense. Now, maybe if you know, the Lions, who would be expendable off the defense? When you're adding a defensive piece, who would be expendable along the offensive line? Because I don't know that you would trade any of the young guards you just drafted. That seems unlikely.
No, but I don't know. Offensive lineman, I'm not sure. Defensive lineman, you could look at Pascal or Onwuzurike, I would think. Broderick Martin, but that's far lesser of a player.
Yeah, if you're in Cincinnati, are you really interested in Pascal or Onwuzurike or Pascal? I mean, I'm trying to piece together.
No, but if you package that with a pick, does that make it more enticing?
Ennis Rakestraw.
Who hasn't played.
Choose your, you would have to hope that they loved him out of the draft. Choose your second tier defensive lineman and a first round pick. I mean, I'm trying to think of this. I'm doing the show in Cincinnati.
If I'm doing the show in Cincinnati, I'm asking for Brian Branch because I'd get him for this year and next year, right?
Yeah.
And I could sign him to a long-term deal if that's the case as well. So I would ask for Branch and, you know, draft compensation.
Yeah, I would think it would be Branch and stuff. 248-539-9797. Feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox.
I'm sorry, but the other thing we know is that when you get in situations like this, when there's a big time play, sometimes the compensation just makes you go, really? That was it? Happens every single year.
I would be stunned if it happened with an edge rusher, but yes, it does happen every single year. When Davenport is healthy, this is from an unnamed texter. When Davenport is healthy, the Lions have a top five edge pairing per Pro Football Focus. Will Holmes make a small add before the season to shore up the draft? Probably. It could be Zadarius if he's willing to take a deal under $5 million a year. Don't expect any sort of huge splash. That is from an unnamed texter. From Dave in Detroit. I was listening to a show out of D.C. this morning. The Sports Junkies, they are talking the same way. They floated a second and fourth and Daron Payne. That's from Dave in Detroit. 248-539-9797. You want to continue down that road? They are out there in full force, conspiracy theorists today. We'll get to that in the 11 o'clock hour here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, if you need a garage door, and this is something that I actually needed a few years ago, there was only one place to call, Precision Garage Door Service. Why? They're the experts. They know exactly what they're doing. In fact, if you need a new garage door today, you can get it installed in perhaps as little as 24 hours because they've got a warehouse that is chock full of garage doors. These guys have been around for a long, long time. I mentioned they're experts. Absolutely, they're experts. They come out there with technicians and know exactly what they're doing. They got the whole full gambit of tools needed to install anything on the spot. They're amazing. All calls are answered by Precision 24/7, actually by a live person, which is pretty great. They offer the same-day service. Emergency repairs are available, and weekends are available at no extra charge. They came over. We picked out the garage doors to be perfect for my house. They walked me through a ton of options, and I couldn't be happy with what I selected, and I think you would be as well. Give them a call today, 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or visit them at your convenience at precisiondoormi.com.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Unnamed texter writes in, there is no way Trey Hendrickson does not want an extension. He wants an extension in Cincinnati. That's what this whole thing is about. If he didn't want one, he'd just stay there.
Well, if he feels that the team has betrayed him. It kind of feels that way after his statement that he's just absolutely flabbergasted that there's been no communication. Then out of spite, you could just say, you know, fine, deal me. I'm out of here. I'll play somewhere else for a year. Like to work on an extension with that team. And if I can't do it, then I'll hit free agency.
Next text, Campbell and Laporta straight up for Trey Hendrickson. That's from an unnamed texter. Taylor Decker for Hendrickson straight up. That's from an unnamed texter.
Would you do Campbell for him?
Straight up?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Campbell and Laporta, but I'm not sure that gets it done. You know, it's a weird spot in that they want to win now, but they also want a younger player that's cheaper. And they'll probably want some term because that's their problem with Trey Hendrickson is that he's up. They're up against the cap and they have to let him go. But hey, man, it's another layer to this story that as we've watched the elite edge rushers, the absolute dreams of the elite edge rushers, which are probably, you know, dreams and borderline fantasy, but you know, the Myles Garretts and the Max Crosbys get their big contracts. I can see why Trey Hendrickson is a little frustrated because he led the NFL in sacks last year and Myles Garrett got a new deal. Max Crosby got a new deal. There's belief that Aiden Hutchinson's going to get a new deal. And he's like, I was promised a new deal. I didn't get it. And that kind of came to a loggerhead yesterday when he went public with it. Which had everybody in the NFL talking about whether or not he is available and a lot of towns saying, okay, are we going to trade for him? You know, it's a tough deal to pull off if you're Detroit, given where you're going to be likely in every draft. Because I just feel like if draft capital, which may not be the most coveted thing by them, is the deal, someone else can almost always go higher. Somebody else who needs him more can go higher. If you're offering players in return, which is what they may very well want, and it's something to keep in mind, you know, what players from your defense do you want to offer? And then you get into the debate as to whether or not you pay one position that kind of money. Two is, do you upset a locker room? Because if you do pay him money, you feel like you're giving him other people's money that we've been here and done that. And this is the first, like, we are so drama-free here in Detroit. Like, I'm watching what's going on in Cincinnati. And I swear that used to be us, right? Yeah. It used to be, maybe not this specific case, but it's all about the winning right now. And if you bring in a player and sign him, somebody, that's somebody else's money that they feel like has been given to him. In which case you might have drama introduced in the locker room for the first time. I don't know. It's very complicated. It'd be great if they could pull it off. But it just seems unlikely.
The Lions have done a great job of getting out in front of all this stuff with the, you know, the extensions a year or two early, you know, and any issues they had with money and contract with players, there were lesser players, but they just moved on. Jamal Williams, you know, a guy who thought he probably deserved more, went out, tested the market, didn't get it. You know, Josh Reynolds didn't get the offer maybe he wanted from the Lions. Lions moved on. So those are just smaller players that the Lions were able to move on without any drama. But the bigger players, they've just been able to get it in front of it. Now, they're not done, right? We know Brian Branch. We know Jameson Williams. You know, Laporta, Campbell. There's other guys on this team, and who knows who's going to come back. But right now, it has been drama-free. They're all about the winning. If you bring a Trey Hendrickson here, what would that cost? Not just financially, but in the locker room. All that plays a role. And I don't know if the Lions want to get into that business.
It's a subtlety of roster building. I mean, are they good enough to win the Super Bowl? Are they good enough to win the Super Bowl? You always want to make your team better, but to what extent? Do you hurt yourself in the locker room? Do you hurt yourself long-term? Because if you could get him now for a second-round pick and he doesn't cost you anybody and he plays out the contract here, yeah. 1,000 times yes. It just, feels like there's going to have to be a lot of Trey Hendrickson saying, sure, I want to be in Detroit and sure, I'll play on the contract, and Cincinnati would say they would take that compensation, but I just feels unlikely.
Well, he hasn't been dealt yet, and teams have had open season on talking about it, and apparently there hasn't been a whole lot there. So maybe it's easier than we think.
Do you If you had to bet right now, where do you think Trey Hendrickson plays in 2025? I'll answer the question. What are you thinking about? I'd say Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think he's burned a bridge there, or Cincinnati has burned that bridge. I think he might sit out the year.
Wow. Kang, where do you think he'll play next year if you had to guess?
Oh, not on the Bengals.
You don't think so?
Yeah, I think they actually have to. They have to trade him. Like, they don't have to, but I think that he's going to make it that uncomfortable. Because, we look at the Browns situation, right? Garrett's like, I want out. Browns like, we're not trading him. They pay him a huge amount of money, and that's why he's playing. I don't think they can do that with Trey Hendrickson. They can't afford to give him that type of deal. That's why they haven't done anything.
I mean, the only way they can get that done is if they go to Joe Burrow and say, Joe, it's not about restructuring with Joe. They need Joe to take a pay cut. And that's not going to happen.
Yet, if they trade him, do you think Joe Burrow is going to be happy?
No.
No.
No, of course he's not going to be happy. But at the same time, Joe's not going to give up his money. And he was happy that they brought T. Higgins back.
I feel like they backed themselves into a corner that, again, this is so pre this regime Lions. Now, is it going to sting if some other team trades for him? Like, the teams that are rumored to be involved include Washington. If Washington gets involved and Washington gets him, it feels like Washington is...
Oh, because Washington's in place because they got a quarterback on a rookie deal.
Yep, and Washington is the team that ended our season in a nightmarish performance at Ford Field. Ugh.
No, it's disgusting to think about it, but that's exactly what could happen. And Washington is a team that has the space to make it happen because, like I said, you got Jaden Daniels on a rookie deal.
Such a luxury.
It's a massive luxury to have. When you have a quarterback that enters the league and is as good as he is, it's fantastic for your franchise for that 5 years that you've got him. And then you'll give him the extension or a second contract, and you'll deal with whatever you got to deal with at that point. But by the time he ends up signing his deal, he's going to be north of $60 million a year. But for right now, I mean, that team got to the NFC Championship game, and here they are getting excited about years to come. And if they can add a player like Trey Hendrickson, they should expect to be right back there next year.
248-539-9797. The thing about Washington and Philly, and one thing you got to keep in mind, is to win the NFC, you don't have to beat everybody. You just have to beat the teams that are in front of you in the playoffs. Last year, it so happened that the road would have gone through Washington and Philly. Washington now has Detroit's respect, obviously, because of the way that they played that game. And I mean, all of us are now a little bit fearful of Washington. And God, it was just such a bad performance on so many fronts. And Philly wins the Super Bowl. They are in the same division together. And, you know, they'll beat up on each other during the year. Maybe the path to a Super Bowl does run through both those teams. Maybe it doesn't, because they may have to square off against one another before they get to Detroit. What we know is the Lions are in a good position to get themselves back into the tournament, and hopefully we'll do just that.
Yeah, and for Trey Hendrickson, for people that don't know, it's not just what he did last year with 17.5 sacks, because he just equaled his total from the previous season. Since 2020, over the last 5 years, he's had 71 sacks, or 70.5 sacks during that time. He's also had an enormous amount of pressures during that time, over 200 pressures during that time, and he's knocked the quarterback down another 69 times in the last 5 years, in addition to the quarterback sacks he's had. He's also forced a mess load of fumbles. He is a stud edge rusher that they've started to use a little bit more in Cincinnati than what he was used earlier in his career in New Orleans. He's not just a third down guy. They've used him on all downs, and he's made an impact over the last couple of years for sure. He's gotten way more tackles.
248-539-9797. Feedback from Twitch. Coyboy1 says, not having a second All-Pro defensive end is such a tragedy. You would think it was like a two-game Tiger losing streak. From Nayrock, the problem is in football, there's reasons why players hit free agency. We don't really even know if Hendrickson is actually available. For all we know, the Bengals are doing a Raiders-Browns where they pretend these players are available for a trade for a massive offer that no one is going to give, and they just end up making the money work instead for an extension.
I think that would have gotten out with them because there's such acrimony between these teams, between the team and the player right now. I think it would have gotten out there if there was an offer and or whatever Cincinnati is asking for in return.
It could be. Could be. We'll have to see what happens here. But, you know, there's a lot to think about and a lot of moving parts. All right. There's a lot of conspiracy theorists going at it as well. 11:05. We will get to that here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.